Today on Real Life Radio.
For if you do not believe that I am, ego eimi, the eternal one, you will die in your sins. You say, oh, pastor, I just don't believe that. You're rejecting Christ. I just don't believe it the way that you do. Excuse me, I don't want you to believe it the way that I believe it. I want you to believe it the way God put it.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message now called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5, continues his series called The Why Series. You know, if we want the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, it's a conscious decision and choice that we need to make each and every day. What does that look like in the life of the believer? It's when we watch, when we listen, and when we pray for the Spirit to guide us to God's purpose for our lives. Every day can be a day of passion and fulfillment when we allow the Holy Spirit complete access to our hearts and minds, to pause and reflect on what's really going on inside of us, and to stop to consider what the Holy Spirit really is trying to tell us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we all have a belief system that we live by. Just like when Jesus walked on the earth, we can choose to reject Jesus and why he came, or we can follow him and spend our eternity in heaven. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There's this thought of there's got to be more to life and there's got to be life after death. It's plaguing me. That thought is driving me. That is from God. And faith normally moves forward to find the answer. This sin is faith in reverse. It sees the answer. It sees the foundation of who faith should be placed in, and it pulls away from him. It recoils back from him. There's people on their deathbeds, and you invite them to know Jesus, and they go, get out of the hospital, get out of here. They get angry. It's bizarre. In 30 years of ministry, I can tell you that three times in those 30 years, I see the people who I was asked by the family to go and share the gospel at their deathbed. And they were laying there. And I said, hi, I'm Pastor Jack. And your family asked me to give you the gospel. Get out! Get out! They didn't even know me. And they died in unbelief. Remarkable. Faith in reverse is this. It's a way of belief that's a godless faith. Say, how can you put, what do you mean godless faith? It's either faith or not faith. No. Everyone has faith. Where's your faith directed? There can be a godless faith, you know. The scribes and the Pharisees, they had witnessed his irrefutable evidence that Jesus Christ was in fact the miracle worker Messiah, that the scripture said he was and that who he himself claimed he was. But remember, they attributed the work of the Holy Spirit in him, because remember, Jesus did the power, the miracles, the Bible says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. They saw Isaiah 35 being fulfilled in front of them, and they not only rejected Jesus, but they commenced a life campaign to try to kill him. John 8:23. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. He's speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, ego eimi, that's the name of God, the eternal one, you will die in your sins. You say, oh, pastor, I just don't believe that. You're rejecting Christ. I just don't believe it the way that you do. Excuse me, I don't want you to believe it the way that I believe it. I want you to believe it the way God put it. Don't think for a moment this is my message. This is not my message. This is his message. I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking you to agree with God. well, Pastor, I just, you know, I'm going to, as long as I'm sincere, you are rejecting Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, 18 to 24. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Why? How come? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Present tense. It's not, well, it's been revealed to them and it is constantly being revealed to them like the heavens above. We know they're there, and every night we go out there and we see the heavens above, and they are still speaking to us about the nature and the existence of God. For God has shown it to them. Verse 20, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that he has made, even his eternal power and Godhead. That's the Trinity. So that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, that is, they knew about God's existence, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise. By the way, that's the next step of pride. You turn into an idiot because you become so self-educated and impressed about yourself that you begin to lose your mind with how you speak. You think you're speaking incredible, deep things of man, and you think you know, you're just so impressed with yourself. Isn't it amazing that the Bible tells us that over time, when people learn without God, they profess themselves to be wise, but look what God says, they become fools. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. That's by the way, the faith of evolution. And birds and four-footed animals and creepy things. Verse 24, therefore God also has given them up. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. They die in that belief means that God has given them up. Why? Because they have turned their back on God in full rejection. Next, I think it's fourth on our argument here. What is the unpardonable sin? It is a sin that what you believe about God, it's what you believe about God. It's the very doctrine that you live by, friend. What governs your decision-making process in all of life? None of us are sinless. We'll never be sinless. None of us can point the finger at another. We understand that. But what is the doctrine of your life? Is it Oprah? Is it New Age? Is it First Baptist? Is it Second Baptist? Third Baptist? Is it Calvary Chapel? Is it Lutheran? Is it Assembly of God? Is it Muslim? Is it Judaism? Is it Hinduism? Is it Buddhism? What is it? You have a belief system. No, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I got my own thing. You are it. That is your belief system. So the question is, what doctrine do you live by? That's your true faith. What governs your life? John 3:15 says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Listen up, here it comes. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For men, verse 24, everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light. And your response is? Your response is what to Jesus? Well, Pastor, I just don't believe that. You're rejecting Christ. It's just as unforgivable as the Pharisees sinned against the Holy Spirit looking at Jesus' face back then. If you die in this belief system of yours, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. if you die in this condition. And you will enter eternity having committed the unpardonable sin. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. No second chance. There's no purgatory that's invented. There's no holding tank. There's no reboot. There's no upgrade. It's heaven or hell after death. The Bible's very clear. But you know, Jack, that was then. You know, what about today? Can someone commit that sin today? As I mentioned earlier, maybe you're asking the question, have you committed it or are you committing that sin? Let me be very careful how I answer you. A decent Bible scholar will say something like this. Write this down, get ready. A decent Bible scholar, student of the word, will say, no, you cannot commit that sin now because technically the scribes and Pharisees were looking at Jesus face to face in the flesh, in their time zone, in reality, in front of him. They literally saw the power of the Holy Spirit at work. They literally saw the Spirit of God raise the dead through Christ. They literally heard him preach and see lives transformed. So that sin could only have been committed by them then, at that time. And I say a decent scholar because that is true, almost. Pretty much so, but not all the way. It was certainly true of those eyewitnesses. It's not true about you right now if you're still living. You have not committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Something has to happen now, 21 centuries later, for that sin to be repeated now. Because Christ isn't physically here. He is not physically able to be argued with or agreed with. But the Holy Spirit is. And it's the Holy Spirit's testimony in your life. It is the Holy Spirit's witness in your life. The Spirit of God is telling you to consider Jesus. It's the Spirit of God that bothers you. And he's pointing you to Jesus. And if you die tonight like that, you are lost forever, for all eternity. You will have died in your unbelief. And there's no hope for you. That would have been your decision. Christ, all your life, has been reaching out to you in your mind and in your heart. I want to read to you one of the old scholars from yesteryear wrote, they committed the unpardonable sin by accusing Jesus Christ in person, right before them, in their very eyes, while he was on earth, of being demon-possessed. They were not speaking out of ignorance or misunderstanding. It was not some vague critic of who Jesus was. The Pharisees knew exactly that Jesus was the Messiah sent by God to save Israel. They knew the prophecies were being fulfilled. They saw Jesus' wonderful works. They heard his clear presentation of truth, yet they deliberately chose to reject the truth, and by doing so, they slandered the Holy Spirit. They defiantly closed their eyes and became willfully blind. Thus, Dr. Jesus examined their hearts. Because he can. And then he, Jesus, pronounced that sin to be unforgivable. Jesus will tell them that unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That's the key. Today you may not believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You may not believe that. You may not believe that Jesus said, you cannot come to the Father but through me. You've got to go to the cross. You've got to see me at the cross. You've got to go to the tomb. You've got to see me in the tomb. You've got to go to the tomb and see the tomb empty. You've got to believe all that the prophets spoke of me, Jesus would tell you, and believe on me. Trust me. And if you make that decision to follow Christ, you will be coming from that specter, that, think of it, it's as though there's an axe one inch from your neck in the invisible realm. Can you imagine? We're skipping around on this picture-perfect evening in Southern California. It's so beautiful and empty. Nobody's around. It's so weird. But it's beautiful. And if you're not careful, you can focus on all the beauty of it and wind up missing the creator of it all. And there's an invisible, imagine there's a reaper, an angelic reaper with an axe right behind your head. 24/7, 365. And there's a moment in time when God fulfills his word to you that he's made to all of us. He says, my spirit will not always strive with man. He placed a limitation on your life. When your number's up, my friend, God's appointed a certain amount of days known only to God. When your number's up, your number's up. You will have lost and exhausted the time of repentance and salvation. The opportunity will evaporate from you like the summer sun pulling up moisture from a petal or a leaf of a plant. It's there and then it's gone. What would happen right now if you were to die? What would become of you? So as we wrap this up, I'm just going to ask you right now to make that decision for Jesus Christ. And as you're thinking about that right now, maybe God's speaking to you, I want to ask you a couple questions. Can God turn a person around? Well, you know, Pastor. No. Can God turn a person around? Second question is, what kind of a person can God turn around? I'm asking you right now. What kind of a person can God turn around? What do you know about that? Do you think you have to be good to get into heaven? God never said that anywhere. Third question is, would God even turn a man or a woman like you around? If right now you are saying, Pastor Jack, I wish God would forgive me, guess what? He's already working in your life because you couldn't have thought that thought without thinking of how lost you are. And you don't want to die like that. Say yes to Jesus now. Yes to the cross. Yes to the empty tomb. Yes that he's Lord. Maybe you're saying, I don't know. I'll wait on this. That's your decision. But can he turn somebody like you around? If you have a deep sense of condemnation, the good news is, yes, he does. Yes, he can. Are you willing? You may be hearing this challenge right now and you're saying, I don't need any of this stuff. Pride is killing you. I deliberately ask you those three questions because, you know, the Bible commands us that we should pray for our rulers and our leaders. You know that? Those of you in England, do you pray for Boris Johnson and members of the parliament? Do you know their names? And what is your minister? What's your MP's name, where you're from, or wherever you're from in the world? Do you pray for your leaders? You're supposed to if you're a Christian. We're all sinners. We've all failed. It's easy to point at other people because that's what a Pharisee does. That's what pride does. That's what someone who has the religion of self does. Quick to point out faults and sin and weakness in others, cannot see it in their own life. Maybe tonight the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart. And the issue is not who's in the parliament and not who's in the palace and not who's in the White House. The issue is what's in your heart. Jesus knew their hearts and spoke unto them and said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And tonight, maybe God wants to change that in your life. May the power of God come upon you wherever you may be in conviction. May you be aware of all your sin. May your hands be heavy with guilt and shame. And tonight, Just when you feel like your heart's going to explode and your hands could no longer bear the load, that when you call out to the name of Jesus, you'll be set free. Will you do that right now with me? Lord, we begin, first of all, I just ask of you, Lord, that those that you're speaking to, that they would respond to you and that they would cry out to you now in their own words. Jesus, forgive me. God, help me. Christ, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I don't care how you say it. Friend, say it to him. Don't say it to me. Say it to him. And in a nanosecond of time, in a flash, in the twinkle of an eye, faith explodes in your heart, and in your tears, sorrow, and sadness, and grief of what and who you are and what you've become, you turn to him, and immediately now, believing that Christ is resurrected from the dead, the risen Savior, you're set free. Because that's why you're alive. That's why you're hearing this message right now. And that's why Christ came, so that you would never have to be a partaker of the unpardonable sin. Welcome to the family of God. There'll be those that will be giving you information about how to contact us so we can send you a Bible. Second and final thing, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of heaven and earth, the King of glory, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the way, the truth, and the life, the Son of David, Son of man, Son of God, we ask you that you would send revival to the United States of America, and at this global moment to the entire world. God, may we see a miracle of revival among your church and salvation among the lost. And God, may we throw away our differences as Christians and come together in prayer, united around the world, linked around the world in the Spirit, that we would pray, and God, that we would hear from you. Lord, I know as a pastor over this church, I need to hear from you about what's next as our world is turned upside down to us, but you know exactly what's going on. What do we do next, Almighty God? I'm not looking to the White House for that directive. I'm not looking to the State House for that directive. I'm not looking to the county. I'm not looking to the mayor. I'm looking to your house, Almighty God, your throne room. Show us what to do. Lead us and guide us, Father. But until you show us what to do, we will keep doing what you've called us to do. Until you stop us, Lord, we're going to keep going forward. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would use this message to your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5. Glad you could join us today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and gives us a process where we can logically reason together while looking to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, just as Pastor Jack said, we need to pause and reflect on what we really believe about Christ and about the Holy Spirit. Are we truly walking with the Lord, or are we letting the world dictate our behavior? And what happens when we sin? Do we know without a doubt that we are indeed going to heaven? These are just a few of the questions that we need to stop and ask ourselves. But don't feel ashamed or embarrassed if you're not sure about the answers. The conflict inside you tells the Holy Spirit that you really want to know and you really want to do the right thing. And if you need extra help, we're here for you. Simply download the Real Life app to your smartphone or tablet. Click your way to the Tools icon. Once you're there, look for the title Real Life Basics and choose from a list of topics that really is sure to renew your confidence about God and His faithfulness. You can access the Real Life mobile app through the App Store or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.